This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord, light of the dunya and the akhirah, Lord of the heavens and the earth, most merciful, most kind. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon us in this waqt of Jumu'ah, to accept from us our ibadat. May Allah accept the small that we do and have mercy on us for our indiscretions and our mistakes that we do, for Allah's mercy encompasses all things. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us this waqt of Jumu'ah, that it be a nur, a light that wipes away the sins of last week and the sins of the week to come. And for those major sins, we make tawbah and ask Allah for istighfar. We also send our love, our greetings, our salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pure, perfect family, his companions, and all of his ummah until the end of time. Ya Allah, let us be of his ummah in this dunya and in the akhirah. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we continue with our series, The Diseases of the Heart. And over these past few weeks, we have discussed a number of issues, a number of topics that we said each and every one of us needs to look into ourselves and diagnose ourselves with these kind of effects. That these issues that we discussed might affect us in a small way or in a big way. And for those of us that fall into these categories, this is for you and myself, first and foremost, to have an introspection and a discussion with Allah. That the heart, as Allah says, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the heart is between the fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He changes it as He pleases, on guidance or misguidance. And it is for us to improve, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate for us the path of goodness. Today, insha'Allah, we discuss a topic which is intrinsically attached to Iman. A topic, an area that a heart that does not have this, then it's a disease. It's a deficient heart. It's a heart that is sick. The absence of haya or modesty or shame. And there's many discussions, many words in English that try to capture the meaning of haya that doesn't really truly encompass it. Modesty, we'll call it for our sake of our discussion, we'll call it modesty. Haya, in the Arabic language, it is derived actually from hayat, which comes from life, which comes from the essence of a person, of its being. And in English, we say there are many words to describe this feeling, this emotion that we should have. It is modesty, it is self-respect, it is self-honor. It is to have bashfulness or to feel shame. So how do I capture this meaning? The meaning is, if you really want to understand haya, is that you are concerned in the way people see you physically and how they view you, how they view or the opinion of you. In other words, if we do sin, how many times maybe we've done something wrong and our parents see or our parents walk in on us. That feeling of shy, if we think of doing a sin and think of someone that you hold in respect, it might be your parents, it might be a teacher of yours, it might be a religious leader, how you would hate for that person to see you in that state. That feeling that you have, that feeling of shyness, is haya. And the greater the feeling that you have of shyness, and the greater that you accompany in your heart with this, it's a sign of a healthy heart. And less you have of this haya, where you no longer care or are concerned how people see you or view you, you're no longer concerned or you are embarrassed about your bad conduct, then it's a heart that is diseased. So the ulama describe this feeling of modesty, and some of us may feel we're talking about a feeling and emotion that for women they should have this feeling, not for men. No, men and women the same. Yes, women have a higher degree. Women should have even a higher degree of haya than men. But even men and women should have this feeling of, I don't want to be seen doing something wrong. That's really to capture haya. I don't want to be seen being in inappropriate light or inappropriate conduct. The feeling of being uneasy or embarrassed or being exposed when one is doing incorrect conduct. We all do commit sin. We all commit sin. But the difference between certain sins and being completely okay with it is haya. The ulama described that the difference, one of the differences between insan and animals is this feeling of haya. We know that on a basic level we are like animals, and Allah has favored us and given us a consciousness above that of animals. above that of animals, where we know right from wrong, where we conduct ourselves in a way above that of animals. But when someone loses his haya, that's when Allah says, they kal an'am bal hum adal. They have become like animals. In fact, they are worse than animals. Because the animal doesn't know any better. The animal doesn't know to urinate in the road in front of others, not a problem for him. But for insan to do certain things, it's an aib, it's extremely embarrassing. And when you lose that sense of haya and embarrassment, it's a disease in the heart. So how important is this issue? How important should one have this, that you feel bad when you do haram and you don't want to be seen doing haram? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, verily, modesty, haya, and iman are interrelated. If one is taken away, the other one diminishes simultaneously. They are linked. Haya and iman are linked. When modesty goes, iman also leaves. And when one has no iman, then he no longer has any modesty. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, every religion has a specific quality or characteristic. And the characteristic of Islam is its modesty. That when people see a Muslim, they must recognize that these people have a higher degree of self-respect, a higher degree of honor. We don't just speak to them like we speak to anybody else. Not out of fear, like subhanAllah, I give the example again. You won't speak the same way you speak to your friends when you speak to your grandmother or your grandfather. Why? Because you respect this person greatly. The way you speak to your boss or your seniors is not the same way you speak to the juniors. Why? Because you respect that person. We as Muslims should give off that feeling that people don't want to be seen doing wrong in our company because they will feel worse. SubhanAllah, if the opposite is true, where Muslims have no respect for themselves, then it's a mushkila. Then we have a problem. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the quality of this ummah, the thing that defines this ummah is their modesty. That their women and their men conduct themselves at a higher level, of a higher level of consciousness. That people can recognize that these people have a higher level of sensibility. This is what this ummah should be. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in a well-known hadith, muttafaqun alayhi in Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Huraira mentions that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, iman has 60 or 70 branches, between 60 and 70 branches of iman. And the highest, the pinnacle of iman is what? La ilaha illallah. This is obviously the essence of iman. To worship none besides Allah. And the lowest form of iman is to take something harmful away from the road. To see, subhanAllah, this is, if I can take it away, why not take it away? To have some concern. And one of those branches of iman is modesty. Is modesty. And shyness, as Nabi says, is a branch of iman. Another hadith, it says, shyness leads to iman, modesty leads to iman, and iman leads to Jannah. As I said, shyness is not perhaps the best or most appropriate term. Modesty or self-respect or self-worth is more of a good definition. Modesty, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, does not bring anything except good. A person who has a modest outlook and has modesty as part of his conduct, he will respect himself and others will respect him. And other good things will come to you if you hold yourself in this good conduct. One of the companions, Sa'd bin Abi Waqas, one of the 10 promised Jannah, the man who brought Islam to Persia, on his deathbed, he gave a nasiha to his son. And he said, oh my son, you will never meet anyone more sincere towards you than me. Imagine a father on his deathbed trying to give his last bit of advice to his son. He said, no one will give you truer words than these words I'm giving you now. When you want to make salah, do wudu properly. Then pray as if though you think that this will be your final salah. Make salah as if though Malikul Maut is standing there waiting for you to make assalamu alaikum, and then he takes your soul. Have that in your mind. Number two, beware of greed, for it is akin of poverty. Only poor people in the inside are greedy. They never feel rich. They never feel satisfied. They're constantly looking for more. So he says, greed is actually, it actually means you are poor. And you should have a lack of interest in the dunya, because it's an indication of richness, that you feel satisfied. Alhamdulillah, this is enough for me. And then he says, beware of doing or saying anything for which you will regret or have to apologize. And that is the essence of this hadith here. That anything which you feel, if others were to see or others were to know of this, you would have to apologize for it, or you would feel regret or shame, know that it is haram. That is your internal compass, that this is right or wrong. That if my parents knew, or my boss knew, or my children knew, I would feel so shy or ashamed. Then know that it is haram. And if that box is ticked, that no one would criticize me for this, then inshallah it is okay. Another hadith, another wise man says, beware of what you may have to apologize for, and be wary of what you may feel ashamed of being mentioned. For the only thing you have to apologize for is a sin, and the only thing which you might feel ashamed of is an ugly action. So think about your actions and ask, would I have to apologize for this? Would I feel ashamed if it became common knowledge? If so, then leave it. This is our internal compass. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, he speaks to a Bedouin. The Bedouin says, teach me Islam. And Sayyidina Umar says, Islam is to be witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his Rasul, to establish salah, to pay zakah, to perform the hajj and fast in Ramadan. And then he doesn't want to say all the things that are haram and halal, and you must dress appropriately and eat appropriately and interact appropriately. So he gives one line which encompasses everything. So be open and do not be secretive, and beware of doing anything that you would feel ashamed of. Anything that is ugly, that you would feel shameful for doing it, no, it's against Islam. Allah built in this internal compass where you feel bad for something which is haram. But, Jamaat al-Muslimin, a time comes when you have committed or seen or exposed to so much ugliness that you no longer feel bad. And that's when the heart has reached a tipping point. And wa'yadhu billah, most of us, all of us included, even if we haven't done the haram, we are so surrounded by it that it doesn't affect us anymore. So our compass internally is broken. That, by this hadith, we said that if you feel shame, you feel shy about it or ashamed, then know it is haram. Today we can commit sin, walk in the road as we wish, act as we wish, and we won't feel bad. In fact, we don't mind for anyone to see us like that. That shyness has been totally removed from our hearts. This is a very, very sick heart. And this is, unfortunately, except for the few of us that still feel difficulty when they open the door and they see what's out there, and they feel like inside they are being torn apart. That person's haya is still intact. For the rest of us, myself included, we see haram passing us day after day, and it no longer even makes us feel bad anymore. There's something broken inside our hearts. All of us, we ask Allah to fix us and to heal us of our hearts. How do we know when this compass is broken? When our haya has reached such a low level, how, for example, not feeling bad when you're doing haram anymore. You don't feel regret or shame or sadness anymore. Not worrying anymore what people, and to do it openly. Not being affected when you see haram or hearing haram. Not feeling any kind of shame. Before, when we were younger, if we saw something wrong and our parents were there, we would feel awkward. We don't feel that awkward feeling anymore. And it affects you in other areas of your ibadah. When your iman is low, you'd find it affects your salah. Salah becomes difficult. Allah says that salah is kabir, is difficult, except for those who have khushu', whose heart is okay, his heart is attached to Allah. But when salah becomes a burden, that 5 minutes of salah feels like an hour, then there's something wrong. When you find it impossible to cry, even though you hear the most moving ayat, you hear about Jahannam, but you can't shed a tear anymore. When we are unable to do our ibadat with ease, then it's a sign that there's a sickness in our heart. And how, if not all of us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, have this disease. Today we're living in a time where there is a war, and we live in a region, the Western world, where there's a war against haya, modesty. Modesty is something bad. That if a woman dresses modestly, she is an enemy, or she goes against Western standards. That it is better, it is seen more appropriate when we look at our magazines, when we look at the things that we should aspire to be like, is to have less and less modesty. Modesty is something which is seen as a bad quality in the world we live in. And all around us, we're going to have people or influences and pushing us and our children to let go of our haya. And haya is this very subtle thing that even if you don't do haram, you're not the one dressed inappropriately. You're not the one speaking ugly and vulgarly. But when you hear it constantly, you don't feel bad about it being said in front of you or being shown in front of you. And wa'yadhu billah, it won't be long before you would also do it. That is the danger of your haya being lost, your innocence being lost. Even if you don't do the sin, because you're surrounded by it, it disappears altogether. It's destroying our sense of haya. And you know, subhanAllah, one of the first things Iblis did to mislead our mother and father Adam and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam was to remove their haya. Once they ate from the tree and the protection from Allah was gone, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Bani Adam, La yaftinannakum ash-shaytanu kama akhraja abawaykum min al-jannah. O children of Adam, let not shaytan seduce you as he caused your parents to go forth from Jannah, and he tore off from them their robe, their clothing of innocence, that he make it known their shame, might expose their awrah and their shame to one another. So one of the first steps shaytan did, and the first thing he does, he attacks your haya. Your haya is like your internal self-defense mechanism. This barometer that tells you, this is wrong, I don't like it. I can't dress like this, I can't speak like this, I can't be in this company. If that thing is gone, then it's very dangerous. Then you are without any protection. Out any, you know, as we said, the antivirus is gone. And this is what shaitan removes first. He tries to attack us in our young age and continues to bombard us to the point where the heart becomes oblivious. May Allah protect us. And Allah continues, verily remember, He sees you, Him and His tribe, from where you cannot see them. The jinn see us and we don't see them. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have made the devil's protecting friends for those who do not believe. Not feeling shame. In Bukhari, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said by Abu Mas'ud, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, among the words of the earlier Anbiya, meaning that this is a message which every Nabi said to his people. Nabi says, I'm telling you something every single Nabi from Adam till I have said, it is still relevant to our people today. If you feel no shame, then do as you wish. The ulama has said, what does this mean? If you don't feel shame, you'll end up doing whatever you want. When you don't longer care, you no longer care about how I'm viewed or what will be said or how Allah thinks of me. If that feeling is gone, khalas, then you can do anything. You're capable of doing anything. And we see people and we read in the newspaper, how can, wa'iyadhu billah, you rape your grandmother? How is it possible? That fitrah of us, alhamdulillah, is still there. But when you've reached a certain level of lack of haya, you'll even do that. Nothing stops you. So Nabi Sam says that once your haya has diminished to such a point, you'll end up doing anything and everything and it won't bother you anymore. And we are moving to a time, and this is one of the signs of Qiyamah, we'll move to a time where this will be so commonplace. Another interpretation of this, the other side is that if you don't feel shame, then inshallah, if your heart is good and clean, then it's a good thing. Right, then you can do this thing. But we are on the other side, more dangerous, that we don't feel shame because we're not bothered by it anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now, the Prophet ﷺ tells us in a hadith, amongst the things that is a demonstration of lack of shame, and husbands need to be wary of this. Nabi ﷺ says in Sahih Muslim, one of the most evil of the people to Allah on the day of Qiyamah will be the man who has intercourse with his wife and then he publicizes his secrets. He lets it known what he did. Now subhanAllah, what he did the night before with his wife was halal. In fact, he's going to get rewarded for that. But not being shy to even show this good thing. So what about a bad thing? And subhanAllah, sometimes people speak inappropriately about their wives. There's no feeling of jealousy or feeling of protectiveness over their wives or their daughters. And this is one of the worst sins one can do, is to speak your secrets with your halal wife. What about the haram that you do? And to spread those secrets. Wa'iyadu billah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if you are bad and you commit sin, at least have the level of haya. If your level of haya wasn't strong enough to keep you from doing sin, then at least you should have that minimum level that you don't want your sin to be known. That Nabi says, refrain from all these shameful actions that Allah has forbidden. And if one of you is tried and you are tested by it and you fall into it and you commit the sin, then let him conceal them as Allah has concealed them for him. Allah hasn't made it open, so why do you expose yourself? Now when one, subhanAllah, Nabi says, this is like the basic, the lowest level of Iman. That one commits sin and you don't want it to come out. You rather keep it hidden. When that is gone, and you sin openly, then it's a big mushkila. that people today, we see they commit haram openly. Not only do they commit it openly, but they take pictures of it and they share it for the dunya to see, and they proud of it. Look where I was, what I did. And we like it. We, subhanallah, literally click like. Wa'iyadhu billah. This is a disease of our time, a disease that we are in. That, and subhanallah, you find people further, even worse than that, and this is, goes to the level of pride, where he justifies it with the deen. Who says it's haram for me to be here? What about this or that? When you no longer feel regret or remorse, and you can sin so openly, then subhanallah, know that the iman is so low, the heart is very sick, and we ask Allah for forgiveness and guidance. Examples of how our haya has left us. We come just need to think of one generation or two generations. If you are, you know, 50, think of the time of your parents or your grandparents, or your grandmother. Think of your grandmother. I think of my grandmother. The person I probably have the most sort of, you know, wouldn't want to see me in the wrong light. The way we dress, and for us men, the way our wives and our daughters dress. Before the women used to, they would wear, or the younger cousins, or they would, you know, dress when they meet the elders, they would wear that scarf, and even if it disappears, or when they out of the company, the scarf would be around the neck and it'd be gone. Today, there's not even scarf around the neck. And we can speak to the imam, we can speak to the maulana, we can speak to the eldest of the elders, without any scarf and not feel any shyness anymore. And wa'iyadhu billah, even the imam, the maulana, doesn't feel himself, subhanallah, that this is wrong. He knows it's wrong. But that feeling of this is inappropriate has gone, left us. It affects even the one who doesn't do it. But it's become a norm. Before, if you saw someone not dressed properly, a Muslim, subhanAllah, she's a Muslim, now it's the norm. If a woman walks complete hijab, face closed, she is the outsider. This one is strange. Who is this one? She's odd. Wa'iyadhu billah. That we don't mind being seen in places of haram before. That if you did a haram thing, you were in a haram place, you didn't want anybody to know. But now, we don't mind letting people know that we are there. And even worse, we do it in front of our parents. Even worse, our parents will take us, drop us there. They'll buy tickets, they'll go with us there. Wa'iyadhu billah. Concerts are okay. We're not discussing about, is mixing haram, music haram, drinking. That's a different discussion. But a Muslim, his level of haya, should not allow him to be in the company of haram. Whoever sees haram should stop it. And if he doesn't stop it with his hand, he should speak out and say, this is wrong, you shouldn't be drinking, you shouldn't be doing this. And if he's not doing that, his heart should hate it so much, I don't want to be in this company. That's why a restaurant that sells alcohol, a Muslim should never be in there. Leave the halal food, all that. A Muslim should not be in the company of haram. And if we don't feel bad about being in the company of Allah being insulted like this, if we don't feel bad about that, then subhanAllah, we have a problem. Not them, then we have a problem. Wa'iyadhu billah. And of the signs of Qiyamah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Haya will leave us so completely that people will commit zina in the middle of the road. And people will walk past them, and no one will say anything. We will still have a discussion like anything else. And these two people having zina. And the best, most pious man will come to these people and say, you know, just make zina around the corner there so we don't see you. It's a little bit better. That's the level of how our haya will diminish. This is a sign of qiyamah. And when that level comes, when, as we mentioned in one of the previous slides, or the previous lectures, when the level comes when the bystanders, the rest of us who don't commit the sin, when we don't see anything bad by this evil anymore, that's when the adab becomes justified. Then Allah says, halas, these people, justified for them to be destroyed. To withhold the rain, to give them drought, to send enemies against them and take their lands, for dictators to overpower them, for tyrant rulers to steal from them. When these things happen, Allah sends these kind of adabs. Earthquakes to happen, tsunamis to happen. Wa'iyadhu billah, Allah protect us. Both for the sinner and the one who witnesses it and no longer feels bad. May Allah protect us. The one who Allah says will not be forgiven. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, all of my ummah will be forgiven. Allah will have mercy on everyone. Except those who sin openly. And it's a part of sinning. So what does he mean by sinning openly? Sinning openly includes when you do a sin at night or behind closed doors. And Allah didn't expose you. He didn't bring it to light. He kept it hidden. Allah protected you with that. He saw. Allah saw and he didn't do anything or did not let it be known. Then he goes and exposes his own sin. He tells people, I committed sin. Or he shows a picture, yeah, I was here. And I plan on doing this sin or that sin. So Allah covered up for you, yet you exposed yourself. In other words, to say, ya Allah, I sinned and I don't care that I sinned. So such a person, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, they now exempt from the forgiveness unless they make serious tawbah. When they get to Qiyamah, that sin is not under the forgiveness of Allah. Because you didn't care if you didn't make tawbah. And think about this again. If speaking about a sin you did last night takes away the chance of forgiveness, then what about committing the sin in front of your friends? In front of everybody live? And then not caring. How serious is that? And that's why we said when we get to this level, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if the believer commits a sin, a black spot appears on his heart. And if he repents and gives up and seeks tawbah, his heart is then cleansed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repurifies his heart. But if he does more of that sin, then the spot increases until it covers the heart completely. That is what Allah, Nabi Sallam is telling us, the tafsir of this ayah, kalla bal rana ala kulubihim. Rana is like a rust or a covering. That at this point, when you reach that level of sin, where you no longer see what you do, you don't feel bad to do haram, you don't feel guilt anymore, you don't make tawbah for it anymore, and you don't mind others to see it, and you don't mind people to know that you committed haram, even your parents, even the Mawlana or the Sheikh, you don't worry about it anymore, then you have that level of rana. Your heart has been rusted completely over. Kalla bal rana ala kulubihim, for what they have earned. Their hearts have been completely blackened over with this rust for things that they have done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, may Allah protect us. Covering up your faults. So this is a question here. Someone says, so if he commits sins, should he, you know, cover up and hide? Yes, part of your iman, if you've done something wrong, you cover up your faults. Someone said, what about tawbah? If you've stolen from somebody, then yes, you have an obligation to return that which was stolen before the tawbah is received. Before Allah will grant you the tawbah, you need to give back that which was taken. Repair the damage you've done. But if the damage cannot be repaired, or there's a way for you to repay and give back, you don't confess to anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to come to the imam and tell him, I did X, Y, and Z. Don't do that, not even with the imam. Keep it hidden. Make your tawbah is between you and Allah. Cover up your faults. This is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We commit sin, cover up. Some sahaba, of course, they went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? They wanted the had. They wanted the punishment, purification. Now, we don't live in a Muslim society. You can't go and say, you know what, I drank khamr, lash me, or saps, lash me 80 times. Right? So if you've done the haram, keep it quiet. And make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you see someone else commit sin, speak to that person and don't let anybody know. Nabi Sallam says, whoever covers a fault of a Muslim, Allah will cover his faults on the day of resurrection. Today we try to expose one another. We try to let people know and to remove the haya of someone else. The honor and the self-respect, we try to take it away from them. If we cover up the mistakes, the faults. And again, a side note here. Someone says, you know, I'm in accounting background. So I'm a police officer. I know that my Muslim brother next door is selling drugs. Do I cover up for him? No. Because it's better for him that you make him stop doing his haram. Better for him that you save him from his haram. But if the matter is finished and done, he made his tawbah, he's not doing the sin anymore, he paid his price, he returned whatever was meant to be returned, leave it. Don't say, subhanallah, you want to get married to this guy, you know how he was 5 years ago? Leave that. 5 years from now, he might have become the awliya of Allah. Leave that. You don't want others to judge you like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, afwan. Alhamdulillah. Judgment is only with Allah. We are not here to judge each other. We don't know the good and the bad someone does in the dark of the night. Man might look pious, don't know what he does at night. Person might look bad in the street, you don't know what they do at night. Good deeds. We're not here to judge anyone. We're not here to look. And we don't hate the sinner. We hate the sin. Sister isn't dressed properly. The brother, how many of us, subhanAllah, before we used to, if people drank, it was only a few people, said Muslim, they drink very few. Now today, Muslims have to make excuses and our non-Muslim friends will say, but why don't you drink? Sulaiman then drinks. Why don't you want to come to the party? Ahmad is there. He is drinking. I don't understand. Is it permissible, impermissible? How many of us as Muslims, we feel bad for other Muslims? They make us embarrassed. But we're not there to judge and to look down on anybody. We hate the sin and we say, brother, this thing that you're doing is haram. And I only say this to you out of the love I have for you and the concern I have for the ummah. You might be better than me. And I want you to correct me when you see I commit sin and say, this what you're doing is wrong, Muhammad. And we take that as a nasiha of love. But we don't judge, but at the same time we don't keep quiet. And we don't expose. And if you truly love somebody, you'll give him nasiha and you'll make dua for him. That's the level if you love somebody. If you really care about somebody, you'll say, Ya Allah, correct him, guide him, protect him, forgive him. Even if he doesn't want to stop, Ya Allah, you make him stop. That is true love and true concern. And of Allah's mercy, look at Allah's mercy to the believer, and may Allah put us in this category. Allah respects our modesty so much that on Qiyamah, if you're a believer and you respected your modesty, you committed sin but you kept it quiet, Allah won't even expose you on Qiyamah. So the believer will be brought close to Allah. Allah will say, I will question you privately. I'm not going to question you publicly in front of your parents, in front of your children, all the things you did. Between me and you only. The believer will be brought close to his Rabb until he conceals him. Allah conceals him and makes him confess his sins. So Allah will say, tell me all your sins. And then he will confess them. And Allah will say, do you remember? And then you won't know all the sins. Allah will say, but do you remember that sin, such a sin, and such a sin? The man will say, yes, I admit it, I did it. The Lord, Allah will say, I concealed it for you in the dunya and I forgive you in the akhirah today. You kept it quiet. You kept it quiet. Even if you didn't make tawbah, the very least of haya is, Ya Allah, I don't want everyone to know. I do it privately. So Allah said, now I forgive you for the sin on Qiyamah. Then Allah will close up his record of good deeds, meaning his bad deeds and his good deeds will be closed and he'll be forgiven. And as for the kuffar and those who were before, those are the ones who Allah will call them publicly, and the curse of Allah is upon the wrongdoers. And Allah will, those who sin openly, Allah will criticize them openly. And let everyone in the alameen see, this is what this guy did. This is what he did. Allah protect us, subhanAllah. All of us, we all have shameful things that we've done. All of us, none of us are exempted. So many things we can count, we would hate for people that we know to come out. Our wives, our children, our colleagues, for them to see what we have done. It's only between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have that level of haya. We keep it hidden. We keep it hidden. And alhamdulillah, if you've reached that level of haya, were you too afraid to let the rest of the world see? Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds you, I advise you to be shy of Allah in the same way that you're shy of a pious person from amongst your community. I don't know in the past if people didn't want the imam or the maulana to see them not wearing the scarf, or they're smoking, or they're doing something, or listening to music. Whatever thing that was inappropriate, they wouldn't want the imam to see. I don't know if it's still the case today. I remember one maulana said, subhanAllah, when we were younger, if the maulana walked past and we had some music on, we put it off. But today, if I see people I know drive past, they wave to me and the music is loud and blaring and they don't feel bad anymore. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, how you'd feel to conduct yourself as if though the most pious man in the world is looking at you. But remember, Allah is more deserving that you should feel shy of Him. That Allah sees you. And that is part of taqwa. A clean, safe, secure heart is one that is conscious, Allah sees me all the time. I can't say this, I can't look at this, I can't do this, I can't do this business dealing, even though no one will find out. Even though SARS won't find out, Allah knows. Right? Allah knows. That is taqwa. Taqwa is the thing that prevents you from haram when you're all alone. The thing that prevents you from abusing your wife and children when no one else sees you, that is taqwa. Only taqwa stops you. There are seven people, we know the hadith, seven people under the arsh of Allah. What do they have in common? That nothing stopped them from haram except their fear of Allah. They were alone, they could commit zina, and the one said, no, I fear Allah, taqwa. The ruler, he had no one to answer to, but he was fair and just, taqwa. The young person who could have sinned as he wanted, but he said in his youth, I tried to obey Allah, taqwa. So we ask Allah for that level of our hearts. So Allah, return the haya, that even if we're doing the sin, and we're all doing sins, ya Allah, to forgive us, to make us feel regret and guilt and remorse so much that we stop doing it, and to get to the level where we see haram, that we can't sit idly in its company. That at the very least we'll say we will separate ourselves from this environment of haram. If not, actually we should be speaking out against it. And there is always hope, Jamaatul Muslimin. Always hope. One of the characteristics of this deen of ours is while you still have breath, alhamdulillah, the doors of Jannah are open and the doors of mercy are open. And the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. And it is bigger. One of the things of shaitan, he will remind you of all your sins and say, now you want to come to Allah? And Allah knows all your sins, now you want to come? Yes. While you, shaitan, you didn't ask forgiveness, we will ask Allah for forgiveness. Because His mercy is bigger than our sins. Allah subhanahu says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً. Those when they commit an immorality, an ugly deed, usually fahisha is like of a sexual conduct, a filthy, embarrassing deed. Or they committed dhulm, they wronged themselves, they harmed others and themselves, they harmed themselves. Dhakarullah, they immediately remember Allah. They are reminded, oh yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I committed wrong. Fastaghfaru, and they seek forgiveness for their sins. لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And Allah says, and who will forgive your sins except Allah? وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. And they do not persist. They try to stop doing what they did of haram. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they know. They try and they are aware. I committed the sin. When you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً. I promise them their jaza, their reward is forgiveness. مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, from their Lord. وَجَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِ الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And I promise them, I give them Jannah for eternity. They get Jannah. What did they do? They committed the sin. Allah is not talking about the awliyaya. Allah says, the one who committed fahisha and dhulam, the one who was inappropriate, who committed the zina, and he did the dhulam, but he remembered Allah and made istighfar for him, and he tried his best to stop it. For him, Allah says, I promise him maghfirah, forgiveness, and I promise him Jannah, وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. And the most excellent of rewards I give to those who do righteousness. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all the sins that we did, the worst of it and the smallest of it. Ya Allah, forgive us and have mercy on us. And ya Allah, keep our hearts, let it be healed of its sicknesses. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Oh Allah, do not let our hearts become sick or diseased or deviated after you granted us iman and hidayah. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ رَدُونْكَ رَحْمَةً. And grant us rahmah from you. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابِ. You are the one that bestows, and you are the best of those who bestow. InshaAllah, we ask Allah to accept from us these small words. And I hope I did not offend anybody. And as I said, all of us are in the same boat. We make dua for one another, and we have concern for ourselves and our ummah, ya Allah. Let's be better. Ameen, inshaAllah. But inshaAllah, we continue next week with part 8 of the disease of the heart. InshaAllah, we'll discuss anger as one of the diseases of the heart. And we remind the brothers and sisters of the Maghrib on Tuesday evenings. You're welcome to join our class at Sira, no extra cost. Alhamdulillah, please attend, discussing the Battle of Uhud. And the slides, you can get the slides from the office, and even the audio, alhamdulillah, it's available at the office. Bring a USB, and our website has now also been launched. You can download the slides and the slides and the audio from the website, inshallah, burhanul.org, I believe. That's our website, right? So inshallah, please, it's just recently launched. So anyone that is interested, you're welcome to come. Now I have I have an announcement here. Water project, Darul Islam Zakah Fund. The Darul Islam Relief Fund launched a water project, a gift of life. People in the Northern Cape have been badly affected by the drought and are facing severe water restrictions. Thousands of people are in need of drinking water. Bottled water will be delivered to the drought-stricken areas. We delivered 10,000 times 5 liters of water to Lorisfontein on Saturday, the 12th of March, alhamdulillah. Each person per household was supplied with 2 times 5 liters of water, that's 10 liters each, which will hopefully last each person for 2 weeks, inshallah. Our next destination will be Brantefly, further up in the Northern Cape, inshallah. One person, so if you want to buy to buy 10 liters of water, 50 rand, 20 liters of water for a family is 100 rand, 30 liters is 150. And just on this, there was a prostitute, we know the hadith, she was a prostitute. Committed zina openly, didn't care. but Allah forgave all her sins. Why? Because it was a hot day and she was thirsty. She went to a well and she drank, and then she saw a dog also thirsty. And obviously the dog can't get to the well, so she took her shoe and scooped up the water and gave the dog water. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this lady, she did the sin, but Allah forgave all her sins because of giving a dog that was thirsty some water. So what if you give a family some water for them? We make, and you give that niyyah, ya Allah, I give this that you forgive all my sins, ya Allah. And Allah is capable of doing such things. So if you're interested, there's envelopes with the talib is available. You know, please donate generously, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make easy the plight of those who have difficulty. Ameen. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam muslim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Can the brothers please move forward, please? Just fill the gaps.